20 years ago, when I was just about to start my first novel, which I wanted to be big and funny and serious and realistic and say fresh things about modern life, a new novel appeared on my doorstep. A gigantic novel, 1,000 pages in galleys, signed by the author. It was signed David Foster Wallace, and the book was Infinite Jest. I plunged in and realized why so much fuss was being made. It was really a dazzling, infuriating, completely remarkable book about the sadness that Wallace saw at the core of our frenzied American addiction to entertainment and diversion. Just to give you a sense of his writing, here is Wallace himself reading from Infinite Jest about his character Lyle, this freakish guru who lives in the locker room of the Enfield Tennis Academy, where a lot of the novel takes place.
This guru lives off the sweat of others, literally, the fluids and salts and fatty acids. You do like maybe some sets of benches, some leg curls, inclined abs, crunches, work up a good hot shellac of sweat. Then if you let him lick your arms and forehead, he'll pass on to you some little nugget of fitness guru wisdom. His big one for a long time was, quote, "And the Lord said, let not the weight thou would pull to thyself exceed thine own weight." His advice on conditioning and injury prevention tends to be pretty solid, is the consensus. His tongue is little and rough, but feels good, like a kitty's. It isn't like a faggy or sexual thing. Some of the girls let him lick them, too. He's harmless as they come. Some of the newer kids think he's a creep and want him out of there. What kind of guru wears spandex and lives off others' perspiration, they complain. Sometimes the newer kids, who won't even let him near them, come in and set the resistance on the shoulder pull at a weight greater than their own weight. They hunker down then and grimace and try to pull the bar down, but lo, the overweighted shoulder pull becomes a chin-up. Up they go, their own bodies, toward the bar they're trying to pull down. Everyone should get at least one good look at the eyes of a man who finds himself rising toward what he wants to pull down to himself.
That's David Foster Wallace here at WNYC on the Leonard Lopate Show in 1996. He was 34, and at that moment, he became a literary superstar. In addition to everything else that Infinite Jest is about, it deals with drugs and mental illness, which Wallace himself struggled with. He'd been on antidepressant drugs since he was 23. And then in 2008, Wallace hanged himself in his garage in Southern California. D.T. Max is a writer for The New Yorker and has written the so far definitive biography of David Foster Wallace. It's called Every Love Story is a Ghost Story. I asked him how he approached writing a straightforward book about a writer with such a brilliantly flamboyant voice.
Well, one of the lessons that Wallace's life teaches you is that you really can't change your prose style. I mean, you can try. He tried.
Right,
my
right.
God, he tried. He tried as hard as any person ever could to sort of change that complicated connection between the nature of your mind and the nature of your writing. This is how I write.
Right,
I'm very,
right.
very interested in fact and in letting fact speak and getting out of the way of fact. I'll also say for what it's worth that I felt that, you know, David's great cause in Infinite Jest, but also afterward, was to write a kind of realistic novel for a world that was no longer real. And I felt like biography should return the favor, and that in some small way, I should be trying to write a biography that looked and felt like a biography of a figure who did not, you know, who believed that, who lived his life in a world that was no longer real. So, you know, this is new ground, and I'm not really arguing for any sort of radical innovations in my book. It was more a kind of decision not to do certain things, not to be comprehensive. Like, for instance, in biography, historically, you get a great emphasis on where someone came from. But I don't really feel in the America of 2010 that where you come from, although it matters to David, might, you know, arguably not be as important as what you've watched on TV or what music you listen to. You know, I was very interested, among other things, in just how do you write the story of a modern middle-class American?
It seems as though the way he never grew up, and of course there are millions and millions of Americans who in the last 50 years who never quite grow up in various ways that are often benign. People can be forever young in mostly benign ways. He, instead of just being the guy who keeps partying and never dresses like a grown-up and all the rest, he had this existential angst of an adolescent that he never got rid of. Does that seem true?
No, absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely right that I mean, what's Infinite Jest but a novel about young men? It's got other things in it, but it's a novel about a bunch of kids in a tennis academy. And in that sense, it really is a kind of descendant of Catcher in the Rye. It's another prep school novel. David never did grow up in the ways that you've kind of indicated. He never had children. So, but yes, there's a, the kind of, you know, a perpetual adolescence. And I think in that way, you know, John Updike, I think, once said that in America, a man is just a failed boy. And in that sense, David was a complete success. The other thing that I really, really grew to understand in writing the book is that David sunk an enormous amount of his life and his maturity into his 12-step program life. And that the David that people saw at the university he teaches at Illinois State University and then at Pomona, you know, was in some ways certainly it wasn't the whole David. There was a whole nother David living an almost entirely separate life in these 12-step meetings. He was sponsoring people. He was being sponsored. He was helping people. He was writing stuff for people. He was looking out for people. You know, he had entered a parallel community.
Do you have a sense of what the regard for David Foster Wallace will be 25 years hence?
Boy, 25 years is a long time. Well, I believe he will grow for this generation and the next generations as a figure to whom they can refer when we all want to say, well, we matter. You know, Infinite Jest really sits alone, I think, as a novel from that moment. You know, it wasn't the way people thought the millennial novel would look. And in some ways, it's dated in a kind of appealingly strange way. But especially in the way that David broke open language, the way that he changed, I think, the rules about what literary language ought to sound like, that weird combination, which now sounds, of course, you know, somewhat webby, that weird combination of high and low diction, of sentences that twist around. You know, it's pompous to invoke someone like, you know, Samuel Johnson, but I mean, it's prose that's different enough from the prose other people were writing that I really think that book is going to, in fact, become more interesting to readers and even more, I think, to scholars and a certain kind of close reader. You know, maybe more the way Dickens relates to Victorian England, you know, an artifact that also inhabits that time and infuses that time with its energy. To me, when you remember where we all were in 1996, I mean, it's an extraordinary guess that he made with his talent.
Absolutely true. Dan Max, it's been a pleasure having you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
D.T. Max is a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. His biography of David Foster Wallace is called Every Love Story is a Ghost Story. And I'd love to hear what kind of an impact Infinite Jest may have had on you. Tell us your story at studio360.org.